This Sunday, we're looking at the Beatitudes. Beatitude comes from the Latin word for blessing. I've given the title of my message, Rapport with God. Do you know this word, rapport? R-A-P-P-O-R-T, silent T, pronounced rapport. Do we know this word? It's because of the rapport you have with one another that Drenda and I decided to come to this church several years ago. What is rapport? It's fellowship. It's feeling of togetherness. It's a feeling of unity. A feeling in with. Our message is rapport with God. This sermon was took place on the mountainside. Jesus is known for quite a few long discourses in the book of Matthew. And it says here that Jesus sat down. That was customary for rabbis, for teachers. Jesus was called a rabbi, and rabbi means teacher. It was customary for the important teachers to be seated and for all the people who wanted to listen to be seated. And they had to be very quiet because there were a lot of them and they had no PA systems like we have now. And so Jesus had to raise his voice. And the original text says, and he opened his mouth, meaning that he had to raise his voice, a very stentorian voice so everyone could hear. Jesus himself was doing the teaching. And this is what he taught. St. Augustine, in the years 350 to 430, was his lifetime. One of the church fathers in his confessions says, these Beatitudes are the perfect pattern for the Christian life. It's not the way of salvation, but it is the way for Christians as believers to live. Years ago when I was a youngster, how about 20 years ago? I read Stephen R. Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. Oh, I just loved that book. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll name this sermon, Eight Habits of Highly Successful Christians. But as I studied the word blessed and looked into all the ramifications of its meaning, I realized habits are things we do. We decide to put in place. We practice. We bring about. And so I had to change that title. Eight Ways the Highly Effective Christian Resonates with God. Because of this word blessed, this rapport idea, this being closeness, only happening, blessedness only happening because of a close union with God. The more time we spend with God, the more likely we will be living out these Beatitudes. Now, some of you play the piano, I know. If you don't play the piano, just think about this. Piano has a keyboard. Right in the middle is middle C. Find that in your mind. Five notes up is the note of G. G is a dominant note in a C major chord. It has something to do with C. I want you to think of C being like God. Think of you and me being like G. Now, we're not going to step on any of the piano pedals. I'm talking about a real piano, not this kind. A real one that has strings and wood and steel in it. And I want you to think of you, G, being held down very slowly, not making the note, just holding the key down. Don't step on any pedals, no sustaining, no releasing the dampening of the string, just hold that G down. And then God over here, take a finger over there and go, doink! Take the finger off immediately. If you hold the key down, it'll keep ringing. If you take the finger off immediately, it stops ringing. Okay? So here we are. U is G. Hold it down. God, C. Doink! You know what happens? The piano begins to resonate around the key that is held down. And it begins to sing all the way up through the octaves. By the way, the better the piano, the better it sings. Don't ever buy a piano unless you take a piano player with you to play the pianos and tell you which one does that the best. Now, this holding down of the note G is like us remaining open to God. And when God speaks, we need to ring from having been close. We need to resonate from having been close to him. And that's what's all behind this word, blessed. So when we say the word blessed, think of that. We'll start with verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I know of a man. I know a man who was witnessing to another man. He was telling him about Jesus. And the man who was receiving this witness said, "Stop! Why are you always talking to me about religion? Why are you always telling me about God? I want you to know something. I'm a good person. I've always been a good person. And I'm going to be a good person for the rest of my life. And when I die, if I have to go before the man, I'm going to tell him how good I've been. And you know what? If that's not good enough, I'm going to turn in disgust and go to the other place. Good riddance." Now, what do we have there? We have the opposite, exact opposite of poor in spirit. That's our first one here is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor here actually means one's own, and I got to say this, the word poor here, it's rarely used in the Bible, only about 5 times. It's a special word for poor. There's another word that's normally used. This one means one's own recognition of being totally without moral virtue. Morally bankrupt. And that's who we are. We're not good enough on our own. Can't go before God and tell him how good we've been. Spirit here means to dominate people, thinking we know better about everything. I have a commentary at home I was looking at in this about this verse, and he said, you know, there's 4 billion people in the world. Well, we know now there's over 6 billion, don't we? 6 billion people in the world, all of them think, I'm number one. No wonder we have the mess that we have. When we spend time with God, we learn to equate our moral value with and in Jesus Christ, not ourselves. And that's the sum of it. Looking at verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When I first moved to Australia, I heard someone tell me that, yes, in America, 40% of the people attend church regularly. But only 2% of the people in Australia attend church regularly. But most will say they're Christians. That's good. But that's not far enough, is it? Listen to this fact. There is no need for comfort. There is no need of comfort if there is no mourning going on. Without the recognition of personal sin, we aren't even aware or needing to be saved. And we're mourning right now about what's happened in all the flooding that's going on. I'm so happy my son bought his house up on a hill. But he's been camping out for 2 weeks there in Brisbane. I know one of his professors is retired. This professor moved out of the University of Queensland. He took all of his library, all of his books, and he put them in his garage. 200 meters of books. Most families have only a few meters of books if you put them all side by side. 200 meters of rare, often irreplaceable books in his garage. That's under his penthouse. He lived on the top floor. When the water started coming, the authorities closed those garages and made him get out of there. Would not let him rescue his books. Right now, they're under muddy water. People are deeply grieving. We grieve because of loss of material things. We grieve because of loss of life. We grieve because of the loss of all the crops. Do you know what where the real source of grief is? That we need to mourn about today? This is talking about here. We live in a broken and lost world. And we're in need of God's return and rescue from all these troubles. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Remember, we have to recognize, or we don't need comfort. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. This does not involve weakness. A lot of people think, oh, Christians are lily-livered, weak people can be knocked over with a wet noodle. No, it doesn't involve weakness. This involves gentle, being gentle while yet strong. Being wise enough not to seek revenge. Not easily offended, but rather wanting to advance another's interests ahead of one's own. Jesus did this for us in his death on the cross. Matthew 11:25, he said, "Learn from me, I am meek and humble." Just wondered, you know, you hear about a lot of families fighting at their Christmas Day reunions. I Googled that. Family fights, Christmas. Guess what I got? People even show YouTube videos of their families screaming and fighting. Couldn't believe it. Well, I got one site talked about the UK. 4,000 families were interviewed. And it was found, out of these 4,000, the average family was having a real Donnybrook, a real fight by 9:58 a.m. Christmas morning. On average. We need to be, we need to remember to be meek, not seeking revenge, not seeking payback, but being gentle, holding ourselves from our natural inclination. Verse 6, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled." How do we know if we're a Christian? Well, normally I would say I know I'm a Christian because I've read the scriptures and said I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. But how do I really know I am a Christian? How do I really know it took? Because I was baptized? No. It's because of what's going on in this beatitude right here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If we have hunger and thirst, we are really Christians. The word hunger and the word thirst here is a participle in the original language, which means it's ongoing. It's in the present tense and it's continuous. It's always going on. Just like I'm always eating breakfast in the morning and lunch and evening and snacking in between times. I'm always, it's part of the very necessity of my existence. Do we hunger and thirst after what God wants? Righteousness is what God wants. Righteousness is what God would have us be and do. The idea of here, the word filled is used frequently in the New Testament for cattle that are fattened on the pasture. Same word. I want to be made fat with what God wants. Righteousness, what God wants. Fatted with what God wants. Do we personally have hunger? Think about it. How hungry is your soul to be with God and resonate like Him? Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. We know that grace is giving beyond what a person deserves. By God's grace that we are made a child of God. But mercy is holding back censure that we deserve. In church history, there's a situation where a kind of a tit-for-tat situation. People believe that if I show mercy, that is, I hold back what people deserve around me, people deserve to be kicked in the teeth, and I won't do it on purpose. I'll hold back. I'll be merciful. God will have to keep his word. God's not a liar. He will keep his word and he'll be merciful to me in kind. He will owe it to me to let me go to heaven because I've been merciful. And that's why they've taken this. You know what? That's not being poor in spirit, is it? Remember the poor in spirit illustration? Fact is, because we know we are not good enough, we are bankrupt as far as moral virtue is concerned, and because we're grieving because of it, we know we are in need of mercy ourselves and very willing to extend it to those around us. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Heart here refers to the center of the inner thought life of a person. Jesus warned later in Matthew 15, that out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Henry David Thoreau kept journals. I happen to be the proud owner of all of his journals. I'm not going to leave them in the garage during floods. Henry David Thoreau said, when we're lonely and by ourselves, we need to occupy ourselves with thinking, thrilling thoughts. I tell that to my wife when she complains she can't sleep at night. It's okay. Think thrilling thoughts. Enjoy yourself. Napoleon Hill, who wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich, he said that he believed that we become what we think about. Therefore, think about money and be rich. Kind of materialistic and crass. Norman Vincent Peale, a liberal Baptist pastor, and I mean liberal, in his book, Power of Positive Thinking, he said, always think positive thoughts. That's pretty good. I need to listen to that too. But Jesus says here, always think clean thoughts. Pure means clean. Heart means thoughts. Always think clean thoughts. We get the picture? The more frequently we are with God, the more frequently we are being touched by His Spirit, we will be keeping clean thoughts. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. James says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. It's not best, blessed are the peaceful, it's blessed are the peacemakers who are actually sowing peace. See a situation of trouble. Be in a situation of strife. At 9:58, when you live in England, Christmas morning. Actually do things that will make peace. We're called sons of God. It says here, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. And this idea of being called in the Bible days meant renamed. The name of the person reflects the person's character. We are all automatically positionally a child of God. But we're only called sons of God, according to thinking in Bible days, if we act like God, if we are peacemakers. Verse 10 and 11 give us the eighth beatitude. Some people say there are nine beatitudes because there are nine blessings, but there are actually eight. The eighth, there are two for persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness. Righteousness, again, is what God wants, what God does. What is persecuted? The very same word, in the same word, in the minds of those people in those days, meant pursued, chased, run after, chased, pursued, and grabbed and physically hurt. In verse 11, we have the last beatitude. And Jesus expanded on this persecution. He said, blessed are you. Notice he's now not talking about those who do thus and so. He said, now you. Change it to direct discourse. This is personal. Blessed are you who are personally insulted and with evil intentions lied about and thus persecuted because of me, right up front. He includes here spoken malice as well as physical hurt. Have we suffered this? I asked my son, who's a scripture teacher, you ever suffer any personal malice because you're speaking what God would have you speak at the various schools in Dublin? He said, sometimes things do get back to me from staff, talking to staff. And are we ever persecuted? Most of these, in fact, all the rest of these Beatitudes, either are the way we are in our hearts or the way we behave. This last one is the way people behave toward us because of who we are and the way we behave and the way we are in our hearts. Jesus says, and you will be there also with the prophets of old. You are so treated because of me. Where do we fit in with this passage this morning? 9 months ago, I turned 70. I couldn't believe it. Still feel like a 10-year-old. I sat down and wrote out a bucket list. It took me weeks. I came up with 33 different things. You know what a bucket list is? Things I want to do before I kick the bucket. But they weren't just one-off things. You know, like do a bungee jump or parachute out of an airplane. No, those aren't on it. They were also mostly things I want to be doing so that I can be different, so that I can be changed to be more like God would have me to be. You know what I did after I was assigned this passage to prepare it a couple of months ago, I think. And the more I got into it, do you know what I did with it finally? I've added it to my bucket list. And I want to ask you, where are you in your relationship with God? Are you meeting with Him regularly, routinely, always? Are you receiving His vibrations? Are you resonating with Him? Do you have this ongoing rapport? This is for each of us to answer in our own hearts. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your wisdom, and thank you for your Spirit right now who talks to us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.